Hey, everybody. It's Daisha. So you're about to hear my conversation with Anna Kiko Myers, in which we talk about a lot of things. But one of the things that came up for me in this conversation, not so much for Anne, is that as a newbie to classical music, pronouncing the names of some of the terms and of the composers can be really daunting. And in this episode, I confront a name so challenging that I don't even attempt to say the name. So I'm going to attempt to say it here. This is a name of a composer who figures large in this episode. And that name is Ainojahani Ratavara. I'm so sorry, sir. I thought I should at least try it once. Anyway, Anne tells some stories in this episode that are so great. And I also really genuinely love the music in this episode. So if you love it too, and I think that you will, make sure to subscribe to, rate us, and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. And now, a word from our sponsor. Maestro Classics is an award-winning classical and children's music record label, which features new productions of Peter and the Wolf, Carnival of the Animals, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, got a lot of animals up in there, and The Soldier's Tale by Igor Stravinsky. Listen to over a dozen titles with the London Philharmonic Orchestra and special guests like heavy metal guitarist Joe Stump, storyteller Jim Weiss, and the Boston Crusaders Drum and Bugle Corps, oh, that's cool, and the Russian folk group Trio Varonezh, which I'm probably saying wrong. Learn more at maestroclassics.com and save 17% on all CDs and MP3s with the code CLASSROOM, because you guys are special. Okay, now on with the show. There's a rumor going around that classical music can be hoity-toity. But here in the classical classroom, we beg to differ.
Beethoven 5.
The idea that classical music is a zone where we have to feel restricted or we have to act in a certain way, you know, that's not going to be helpful going forward.
Isaiah is shaking with excitement.
Oh, I mean, there's just so many great parts of the opera.
He asked me to play his favorite spot in the first movement of the Brahms. And then he said, I started using those licks in my guitar solos.
How to be classical music rock stars, because there's not enough of that in this business.
Occasionally, I would plug in the mandolin to my distortion pedals.
I don't change my voice.
And talking to classical
music. I'm playing classical music now. I mean, it's the same 12 notes. That's what's so cool about it.
I'm Daisha Clay, a classical music newbie, and I'm trying to learn all I can about the music. Come learn with me and the classical music experts I invite into the Classical Classroom. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me today is Anne Akiko Myers. She is a much sought-after violinist. She's a champion of living composers who not only commissions their work, but often collaborates with them. People like Jennifer Higdon, Wynton Marsalis, you may have heard of them. She regularly tops the Billboard classical charts, and it's been a minute, 2 years of minutes, actually. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, I was really interested in finding out that you not only commission new works, but that you collaborate with the composers. And is this something that you've been doing for a while? I'm sure that other people that I've talked to have done something similar, but that kept coming out over and over again when I was looking into you and your work.
It started with my just curiosity and just a sense of exploration. I wanted to see how living composers could make traditional repertoire sound different. And that's how my relationship even with Mason Bates began. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to write new cadenzas for the Beethoven Violin Concerto. And you know, from that moment, the seed was sort of planted and we discussed the idea of a violin concerto. And then he ended up writing his very first concerto for any instrument. And I was sort of his lab experiment or his guinea pig. Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing experience to create that concerto together with him. And that concerto has gone, I've played it all over the world, in New Zealand, in France, all over the States. And it's an amazing work. Mm. So, you know, the ideas to work with all different kinds of composers, John Corigliano, who wrote this beautiful lullaby for my firstborn daughter, Natalie, that came as a push present, actually, from my husband. And now it's performed by every kind of grouping possible, you know, from brass to woodwinds. And it's amazing to hear, you know, a composition like that just find its life. That's and so cool. And be carried on forever and ever. So I've always looked and listened and searched for composers that will move me, but also be accessible to audiences. And it's been an incredible learning process for me. Mm. And it's helped my traditional repertoire greatly, because it really expands your horizons and keeps your eyes completely open to new techniques and new styles of writing that can only enhance the traditional repertoire, such as Vivaldi Four Seasons. You know, I mm-hmm. just hear it in such a kind of a 3D or 4D way now that I couldn't have without the help of living composers.
Yeah, what I've noticed is that you're really into the poetry of music. And I was wondering, is that what got you interested in playing music to begin with, or is that sort of something you discovered about music over time?
Yeah, I think my parents could absolutely agree that there was no poetry in my music when I was 4 years old. But no. Slowly over time it might have evolved. And I love that you use that word, because it's very much a storytelling that I aspire to in music. And I always want to know, what is the story and how can I create and, you know, keep this fascinating story alive.
My God, Becky, have you seen the new Classical Classroom website? It's at classicalclassroomshow.com, and our friends at New Y made it. If you want a website as cool as ours, or you want the world to know about your company, go to classicalclassroomshow.com/NW. That's N as in new and W as in Y. I like good websites, and I cannot lie. Okay, anyway, now back to my interview with Anna Kiko Myers. Well, let's go back now to this piece, Fantasian, how you kind of got into this, you know, not only commissioning new works, but actually being a part of the works themselves as they're being created. So you discovered the Finnish composer whose name I'm going to let you say again, because it is a lot of letters and I'm I respect the man.
Yes, Aino Juhani Rautavaara.
Thank you. You say it
yes,
so well.
Yes, actually knew Jean Sibelius. I mean, what composers can you list that, you know, hung out with Sibelius?
Yeah.
We discussed that when I played Fantasia for him in his apartment. Mm-hmm. And he also went to the Juilliard School.
Okay.
My school as well. And it was really, amazing coincidences.
That's crazy.
Yeah. To work with such a legendary composer such as Aino Juhani Rautavaara was such an amazing experience for me because I have been a lifelong fan of his, and I discovered his music in my 20s when I would just go to stores and buy hundreds of discs and bring them home and just basically go hunting on a hunting mission, trying to find composers whose music I felt was so rare and different. And immediately when I heard his Cantus Arcticus, or Concerto for Birds and Orchestra, I was so struck by his use of color and the extraordinary way that he inserted birds singing into this work. And I would hit the repeat button over and over and over and really just cry from the beauty of this composition. So the Cantus Arcticus was the piece that really made the hairs on my neck stand up. And I would just cry listening to that music. Mm-hmm. And it was not until 2015, when he was 85 years old, when I was just talking to my husband about composers. And you know, I said, I've always loved his music. Mm-hmm. I wonder what he's up to. I'm not really quite sure. And he's like, why don't you just ask him if he would be interested in writing something. And I was like, no, there's no way he would write something. There's just no way. You know, like, I mean, when I'm 85, I hope that I'm just hanging out in front of the fireplace and drinking schnapps all day. You know, like, I don't want to be working. like, no, thank you. But I approached his publishing company, and after I asked, it was almost immediately he said yes, and then almost immediately after that he sent me the score. And it was like,
wow.
The music was just at his fingertips. He was like waiting to be asked.
Wait, so did you give him particulars, and then also what did you receive? Like, did you receive something in the mail? Did you receive something like email? how did that go down?
So, you know, I think the score actually came through the fax machine. We were still using the fax machine back
then.
Seriously? Yeah. Came through his publisher. It came to me. And then it got written out so I could decipher the handwriting. And that's when I ran to my studio and played through it. And I was just almost shaking because it had such similarities to the Cantus. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, this piece is gonna be incredible.
So, but did you tell him, did you say, you know, I'm looking for this kind of piece? Did you say anything except for, Will you write a piece of music for violin?
Well, I really wanted a violin concerto, but I just figured, you know, he's already written a violin concerto, and I didn't want to tax him. I didn't not okay. want to exhaust his creative process. So, yeah. you know, I thought, what could be another, you know, another compositional style that he would respond to? And that was the fantasy. And so this work is 15 minutes for violin and orchestra, and he just leapt at the opportunity. And, you know, extraordinarily too, it's very common when I work with composers that they make many, many revisions, but Rautavaara didn't even make one. He didn't change one note in the violin part, not one note in the entire orchestral
wow.
score. He knew what he wanted.
And he just turned it around. He was just, you were like, I would like this kind of music. And he said, okay, here it is. And then you're receiving a fax.
Yes. And, wow. you know, after I played it for him, I took the liberty of changing a lot of the bowings. And the bowings can be very sensitive because you're essentially changing the phrasing. And once you change the phrasing, it's like you're changing the breathing, you know, how you breathe the piece. So, I fearfully asked him after I said, I'm sorry, but I just changed, you know, the bowings. Did you mind? And he's like, he just looked totally relieved. And he's like, you know, I'm so glad because that was just such a burden to me, the violin bowings. It's just never been an easy thing for me to tackle. And
oh, wow.
I'm so thankful for you changing them. It's just like, oh my God, I love you.
That's so great. Like, you never know how that's going to go with a composer. Like,
yeah,
like I've heard stories about some composers expect for musicians to take license like that. And then others are like, absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not. How dare you?
Yeah. Right. So you said he didn't change anything, but like, what was the process? Like, once you had the music and you were working with him, did you play the music for him to see if he liked it? Or like, how did that whole thing work?
I played it for him in December 2015. So he wrote it. He basically sent me the score in October.
Okay.
November, and then I played it for him then, and then I recorded it in May of 2016, and, you know, it was like a jaw-dropping experience to finally hear the orchestra performing it in studio.
Oh, my God.
And to hear all those voices finally, you know, it's like, wow. And then I premiered it also with the Kansas City Symphony. And sadly, he passed away in July. So he never heard the final version.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But he got to hear you play it, which...
Yes, I performed it with piano. But
yeah, okay.
It's, yeah. But I'm looking forward to, actually, I'm going to be playing it in Helsinki with the Helsinki Philharmonic next year. And I'm hoping that his widow will be there. It'll be a very moving experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. What was it like to meet him? But like, you're a fangirl. You've loved this person's music for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, you know, he lives in a very modest apartment, and I basically almost came straight from the airport, and And then I was on my way to London, so I came with my luggage. I had my luggage and my violin on my back, and I took the elevator to his floor, and on the door it says Rautavaara, you know, and I had to take a picture of that. I was like, oh my God, you know, I have landed.
Wow.
On the correct moon here. And when he opened the door, he was using a walker, but he's a very gentle, lovely person, and smiling a lot. And we spoke at length about the fact that Sibelius loved that he had a car, and you know, his experiences living in New York City, and then we played the Fantasia for him twice, and then I had to go to the airport. So that was, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine that, like, actually meeting somebody whose work you admire like that, getting to play their music for them. I mean, what an experience.
Yeah. That year was so amazing for me because I also worked very closely with the Estonian composer Arvo Pärt. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Who is the most performed composer around the world today. And, you know, I was so nervous to meet him as well. And it was really like, okay, you're meeting God. You're meeting your maker now. You know, you're meeting God.
Yeah.
How is that going to go? And it was an amazing experience because I was recording Fratres and Darf Ich and Passacaglia. And he was like 6 feet in front of me, and I was working so hard on the opening cadenza of Fratres. And he wrote this tempo marking that is very fast. And, you know, I was like on the verge of getting tendonitis, working at it to get it right. And I finally played it in front of the orchestra and the conductor, and there he is. And he just turned to me and he's like, why did you play that so fast, Anna Kiko?
Oh, no!
And I almost died.
Oh my God.
But you know what? It was such an amazingly valuable lesson because, you know, these composers that I hold in such awe and reverence, they're human beings, shockingly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they change, and like they want also the performer to be comfortable, and they want... I think the performer to experience the storytelling as much as possible, and that, you know, to religiously follow a tempo marking just because they wrote it, you know, in 1970 or whenever, doesn't mean that it has to be the rule. So that has been just amazing to actually, you know, be playing these works for the people that have created them and to hear from their own mouths what they like.
Well, as we were talking, I was just realizing that there are a lot of people that you work with that I'm betting feel the same way about you. You're Anna Kiko Myers. And they're like, holy crap, I'm playing with Anna Kiko Myers. This is amazing. Whoa. So this whole chain of I don't know.
Of awe.
Fan
of mutual admiration societies.
Yeah, mutual. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
Yeah. Better than the other way. That's true.
I mean, and what that must do to the music, you know? Like, everybody's sort of trying so hard because they're in front of someone that they admire so much.
Yeah.
Well, Anna Kiko Myers, thank you so much for taking the time to tell me these stories today. This was really fun.
This was super fun.
Yeah, take care and have fun with all of the touring you've got coming up.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye. No, you hang up. Oh. Okay, I guess that does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. For more classroom, go to classicalclassroomshow.com. You can find everything you ever wanted to know about the show there, including ways to connect with us online, and you totally should. You can email us at classicalclassroomshow@gmail.com. Thanks today to our home, Classical King FM in Seattle, for attending all of our soccer matches and saying we played well no matter if we sucked or not. Thanks to our birthplace, Houston Public Media. Thanks to our fashion consultant, Fancy's Fashion. Here's your one chance. Fancy's won't let you down. Thanks to Anna Kiko Myers for being on the show. Thanks to me for saying words. But most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time.